You'll find our
scripture reading in the Old Testament scriptures in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 50, the 50th chapter of Isaiah. We'll commence reading at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Ending there at the last verse of the chapter, and we know the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word for Christ's sake. In many places throughout the prophecy of Isaiah, we find a reference to the servant. I think, for example, in Isaiah chapter 42, and verse 1, the opening words of the verse, "Behold, my servant." This is a reference to the Lord Jesus himself, because it is Christ who is the suffering servant of Jehovah. We find another reference in Isaiah chapter 52, there again in verse 13, the words, "Behold, my servant." And if we were to read the verses that follow, it would be clear that again it is a reference to the Lord Jesus himself. In this 50th chapter of Isaiah, the chapter that we read together, we find again a reference to the servant in verse 10 of Isaiah 50. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" It is good that we understand the one who is speaking in Isaiah 50. And we can ascertain that from, again, the first verse and the opening words of the verse, "Thus saith the Lord," or "Thus saith Jehovah." You will know when you see the Lord in capitals that we can read the name Jehovah, the covenant name of God. So the one who is speaking in this 50th chapter of Isaiah is none other than Jehovah. And what he is saying is somewhat in response to the complaint of Zion, or the complaint of Israel, that we read in Isaiah 49 and verse 14, where Zion said, "The Lord," that is a reference to Jehovah there, "the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." But when we turn back to Isaiah 50 and we remember that the one who is speaking is Jehovah, we find that the Lord is making it very clear that it was because of Zion's sin and Zion's iniquity that Zion had departed from the Lord, and therefore the Lord could not be blamed for that. Rather, it was Israel, it was the chosen people, the people of the Lord. But as we read further down here in Isaiah 50, and it is Jehovah who is speaking, notice what Jehovah says in verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Jehovah is speaking, and it is Jehovah who says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Here we have Christ himself, because he is, as you know, God. God manifest in flesh. He is speaking, and in verse 5 he says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. It was the Lord Jesus who was going to the cross, and despite all of the opposition that came across his pathway, he would go there because he was going to die for his people. He was going to die the just for the unjust, that he might bring them unto God. And so, as we are reminded of that in those verses, and coming then to this 10th verse of Isaiah 50, the challenge is to the hearts of God's people that they too, in the midst of opposition and difficulty, that they too would continue in that course that they know the Lord has given to them and the Lord has set out for them. And it's a challenge to the heart of every believer, because there are the times in the Christian life and the Christian experience when we feel as if there's periods of darkness that we're going through. There are times whenever we feel within our own soul, does the Lord really want me to go this way? It seems as if things are not making great sense. We're not able to fit in all of the pieces, and in our own minds at least, we might be in some degree of confusion. Well, our text is this 10th verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, that is Jehovah, and stay upon his God. And so the theme that we will meditate upon for a few moments is simply trusting in the midst of spiritual adversity. Trusting in the midst of spiritual adversity. And as we come to think upon this theme, based on our text here in verse 10 of Isaiah 50, I would draw your attention first of all to the people who are described. The people who are described, and they're described here in a twofold way. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? So there's a people here, and the description is given of them that they're going forth in the fear of the Lord. Added to that, we're told that they are those who are obeying the voice of the Lord. They are those who are seeking to walk before the Lord. They have the fear of the Lord in their heart. But you might ask, what is meant by the fear of the Lord? What do we mean by the fear of God? Well, very simply, it's that regard for the Lord that we have in our hearts, that we are longing always for his smile of approval upon that which we are attempting to do for him. And we're dreading his frown, lest we would do that which would grieve him or in any way dishonor him. We have to be like the believers of the early New Testament church. We read of them over in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 9, and verse 31. Listen to the words. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord. That's how they're described. They're walking in the fear of the Lord. The word walking there has the literal sense and the literal meaning of going on. Of going on. Sometimes we use the expression going on with God. going on with the Lord. And as believers in Christ, we need to be those who are going on with the Lord. And if we're going on with the Lord, then it would be true to say that we're making progress. We're making progress. If we're going on with the Lord, the kind of progress that we're making is spiritual progress. That's the progress to be making, really. We may make progress in other things and in other areas, but it's so vital and so important that as believers in Christ, we are going on with the Lord in the sense that we're progressing, in the sense that we're making spiritual progress. We are maturing in the things of the Lord as we journey through on our pilgrimage here. And we are on a journey. We are on a journey because the very word that is translated walking there in that verse 31 of Acts 9, walking in the fear of the Lord, is also in another verse, verse 3, translated journey. So as we're making our journey through the wilderness of this world, we want to be those that are progressing and going on with the Lord. And if we are those who are walking in the fear of the Lord, then surely we'll be making progress with Him. Walking in the fear of the Lord means that we will be those who will be desirous of living a holy life. And we ought to be those who are living a godly life. If we take the name of the Lord, if we're professing His name, if we say that we're the Lord's disciples, the Lord's followers, the Lord's children, then we should be so living that there is that godliness that is manifest in the way that we're living, in the way that we're talking, in the way that we're speaking, in the whole manner in which we conduct ourselves. Because we find that Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, he talks there about perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And someone has rightly said that the fear of the Lord is the very soul of godliness. The fear of the Lord is the very soul of godliness. Again, as Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 12:28, he says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. But just before we leave this point about the fear of the Lord, the people described here are walking in the fear of the Lord, we shouldn't fail to notice the very intimate relationship and the very intimate connection that there is between the fear of the Lord and the forgiveness of the Lord. Because the psalmist points this out in Psalm 130. And we'll read verse 3 just for the context. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So the Holy Spirit is making this connection and this link. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Well, what's the meaning? Forgiveness with the Lord, that he may be feared. Realizing and knowing and experiencing the Lord's forgiveness. And the Lord's children have had that experience of knowing the forgiveness of their sins. Knowing that, experiencing the Lord's forgiveness by the cleansing blood of Christ, then there will be that fear of the Lord in our hearts, in the sense that there will be that fear of doing that which would displease Him or grieve Him. When we think of what the Lord has done for us in forgiving us for all our sins and all our transgressions, if that really comes home to our hearts, the full meaning and the full significance of that, of having been forgiven for all our sins and all our transgressions underneath the blood of Christ, would there not then be a fear in our hearts, the fear of the Lord, that we would so walk before Him that we would desire to bring honour and glory to His name by how we live, by what we say, by what we do, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So the people that are described here are those who are going forth in the fear of the Lord. But they're also described as obeying the Lord. They're obeying the voice of the Lord. Now the scriptures tell us that the Lord says of his own sheep, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. Again, as Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 5:9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So here are a people who are walking in the fear of the Lord. Here are a people who are seeking to obey the voice of the Lord. And you'd say, well, if that is so, and it is so here in our text, well then, would you expect them to have any problems? Would you expect them to have any difficulties? Would you expect them to have any mountains to climb? Any valleys that are dark that they would go through? You see, that brings us to notice in the second place that the problem that they experienced. The problem that they experienced, because we're told again in verse 10 of Isaiah 50 that this people who feared the Lord, this people who were seeking to obey the Lord, they were walking in darkness and they had no light. You say, that could hardly be. How could that possibly be? A people who are walking in the fear of the Lord, a people who are seeking to obey the Lord, and yet it's recorded of them here that they're walking in darkness. Now, the darkness that's referred to here is not a reference to walking in sin. Sometimes in the scriptures, as you probably know, when we read about darkness, we are thinking of sin against the Lord, but that's not so here. This darkness that's referred to is what the people are feeling within their own hearts because of certain situations and circumstances that have arisen in their lives. We could take the example of Job. Job had many difficulties to face, didn't he? He had many hardships. He was a man who knew a time of great darkness. And yet, he was a man who knew the Lord. He was a man who was seeking to walk with the Lord. He was a man who knew something of the fear of the Lord within his heart. Yet there was that time in his life when he could only describe it really as a time of darkness, in the sense that he felt within his own heart that he just wasn't able to have the fellowship with the Lord that he once knew and once had. That's how he felt within himself. And so in Job 23 and verse 3 he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." You see, here is Job expressing it in that way. And maybe I'm speaking to a believer here this morning, and this is your experience. You say, well, you know, I could identify very much with how Job has expressed it there. Or maybe you could identify with the psalmist over in Psalm 13, where he says in verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" This is how he was feeling. He was feeling as if the Lord had forgotten him. The Lord had put him out of his mind. He had overlooked him. Now, we sometimes could have that experience with our fellow man. They might forget us. They might overlook us. And we wonder why. What has happened? Well, there is the psalmist saying, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Maybe that's how you feel too as a believer. As if the enemy has come in like a flood into your life. maybe in some way into your family. Maybe this has been your experience too. And it's a real trial for you. It's a real battle for you. Maybe it's something that you haven't really told others about. Maybe you're feeling, well, it seems strange that I should feel like this as a Christian, as one who professes the name of the Lord. Maybe it's some physical trial in the matter of health, and you're having a particular battle in that area of life, and maybe almost to the point where, again, you're a bit like Job, where in Job chapter 10, he said this in verse 1, "My soul is weary of my life." My soul is weary of my life. To put it in other words, he was saying, you know, I'm weary of living. I'm weary of living. Read on down that 10th chapter of Job and you come to verse 15, and he says, "I'm full of confusion. I'm full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction," verse 16, "for it increaseth." It increaseth. You come further down, Job 10, to verse 18. "Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few?" See how he was feeling within himself? A great trial. Maybe it's the case with you that you've been seeking guidance for something. You've been praying about the matter. You've been bringing it before the Lord in prayer. And you felt that a door was opening. And then, for no good reason, as far as you can see, the door is closed. And you can't understand it. And it is to you a period of darkness. That's how you're feeling about it within yourself. You thought the way ahead was so clear. But now it seems as if there's darkness, and you perhaps can think back to other times when you prayed, when you sought the Lord, and you believed the Lord gave you the guidance, opened the door, and by His grace you went through that door. And you're probably thinking back maybe to that time or to those times in the past. And now it's as if this has just completely changed. Well, Job thought that way too. Over in Job chapter 29, verse 2, he says, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle or his lamp shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." By his light I walked through darkness. "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." But you see, Job is now feeling it's darkness now. It's not as it once was. There was the light before, and oh, this is what he's experiencing. And there's the problem that the people were experiencing here in our text. They're walking in darkness, and they have no light. Well, that brings us then in the third place to notice the practical instruction that's given. And it's this, at the very end of verse 10 of Isaiah 50. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." The word "stay" there just means to lean upon, or to rest upon. This is what you're to do. Oh, you say, well, preacher, that's easy. It's easy to read those words. It's easy to say those words. Oh, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Well, that's good scriptural advice. We have it before us in our text. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But if we're going to trust in the Lord and stay upon our God, even in the midst of the what seems to us as the darkness, we will need to see with the eye of faith. And what we see with the eye of faith will then enable us, by the Lord's grace, to have that upon which we can build our trust, on that which we can lean upon and stay upon. That which we see with the eye of faith. Because as the children of the Lord, we are the object still of his grace. We're the object still of his love and of his mercy and of his goodness and of his faithfulness and of his loving kindness. Therefore, with the eye of faith, we need to see something of his greatness still. See something of his greatness. Our God is a great God. But have we, with the eye of faith, through his word, have we seen much of that greatness? Because if we have, then we will be able to still trust him. We'll be able to still lean upon him, still rest upon him, because we have seen something of his greatness. Wasn't it something of his greatness that Abraham saw over there when Paul's writing to the Romans in Romans 4, verse 20, we read, he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, there's his greatness. What he had promised, with the eye of faith, Abraham was able to see the greatness of the Lord, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Well, why then would you not continue to trust him? Why then would you turn away from him? When you have seen something of his greatness, that he is able. And why is he able? Because he is the Lord God Almighty. That's why. We see his greatness. We need to see something of his goodness too. Because it's the Lord's goodness that moves him to exercise his power for our good. And the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And God's goodness moves him to make good the promises that he has given to his people. And he has given so many promises to his people. But if you're walking and you sense it to be walking in darkness, you like to know that there's someone with you, don't you? It's often been the case, maybe for adults too, but certainly for young children. They don't like the darkness. And if you were to be put into a room that was pitch black, no light at all, there's something about that feeling that you get when you're there in the midst of the darkness. And wouldn't it be a great comfort? Wouldn't it be a great consolation to know that there's someone there with you? Well, have you forgotten one of his promises? That promise that we have over in Hebrews 13. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In the original, the sense and the meaning is this, that whatever else I may do, this is one thing I will never do. I will never do. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. What a promise. That's the Lord's goodness. So that, believer, even if you feel that you're walking in the darkness and you have no light, and yet you're one who fears the Lord and is seeking to obey His voice, what's the practical instruction? Trust in the name of the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. Stay, rest, lean upon your God. Think of that verse in Isaiah 42 for a moment, verse 16. Listen to these words. The Lord says, I will bring the blind. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. What a word! Do you see the goodness of the Lord? The goodness of the Lord in a promise such as that? He'll lead us in paths that we haven't known. Oh, we do need someone to lead us in paths that we haven't known. How thankful we should be for a leader who knows the way. And the Lord is just that. The Lord is just that. And He'll make the darkness light and the crooked things straight. The things that we couldn't understand. The thing that we couldn't see at the time. That we couldn't somehow in our finite minds reason out and reason through. And when we tried to do it, we gave up in despair. Because you see, we were so focused. We were so focused upon just that one thing. We weren't in any way able to see the much bigger picture. The much bigger picture. It's a bit like, I suppose, in a sense, trying to do the jigsaw puzzle. And you have all of the pieces and they're all there. Then you turn them over and you lay them out. And it's nice to have on the cover of the box the big picture, isn't it? You can lift that piece and look and see the big picture. It can help. Sometimes as we're walking on this pilgrimage, we are those who are just focused upon that one little thing. And we forget that the Lord is working out His great eternal purpose that we can't see. And He knows the end from the beginning, which we don't. But we just have to trust Him. Because He's so faithful. Because He's so good. Because He's so gracious. Oh yes, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Can't you recall past times what He did? Remember how David did that? Over in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. They're familiar words, I'll read them to you. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He will do. When I think of His great faithfulness in the past, and all of His mercy and all of His goodness. So I'll continue to trust Him. I'll continue to stay, to rest upon Him as I contemplate what He has done. And I will trust Him for what He will yet do according to His promise and according to His word. This word translated stay here in our text in Isaiah 50:10 and stay upon His God, it's that word that's translated rest in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. and wait patiently for him. That's what the psalmist said there. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. You see, it's impatience that can lead to many a sin. Being impatient. Not willing to wait. To wait on the Lord. Just to rest in him. Just to continue to trust in him. I go back again to Job for just a moment. Job chapter 23. We were reading some verses in the early part of the chapter. But when we come to verse 10 of Job 23, what can Job say? He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. Verse 14. For he performeth. The word there means to complete. So we could read it that way. For he completeth. He performeth in that sense. He completeth the thing that is appointed for me. The word appointed there just means prescribed for me. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. So therefore, if we realize again and remind ourselves, and we often have to do, if this has been our experience of walking in the darkness and feeling that we have no light, that the Lord knows the way that we take. And if we are those who are walking in his fear, obeying him, he will make the darkness light. That's his promise. The crooked things straight, as we've already seen. He will be working out his purpose in all of this. And his way is always best. You can't get any better way than the best way, isn't that right? There's no way better than the best way. And the Lord's way is the best way. So why would we then try to find out some other way? Why would we try to get some other light other than his light? Why would we try, as in verse 11 there in Isaiah 50, speaks of kindling the fire and walking in the light of your fire? How foolish that would be, to try and get some other light other than the Lord's light. For it's in his light that we shall see light. Therefore the instruction is so clear and so plain and so simple. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. For the Lord will not leave you. He will not forsake you. But maybe I'm speaking to someone here in this congregation. You don't know the Lord. You don't know him. He's a stranger to you. Oh yes, you've mentioned his name. You've spoken his name, perhaps often. You've heard others speak of him and tell of him. Yet you yourself are a stranger still to him. And you're in darkness. You're in darkness. The darkness of sin that's there in your heart. You're in darkness of soul because of that sin. Is the Lord speaking to your heart today? Convicting you of that sin? Calling you to himself for cleansing in the blood of Christ? Will you come to him? Will you trust him? Will you believe on him to the saving of your soul? And then, for the very first time in your life, you'll begin to walk with him by faith. Because that's how Christians have to walk. They walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, begin the journey today by coming to the Savior and knowing the cleansing blood applied. Let's bow in prayer.